Tonight we consider the petition, the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed be thy name, as our Lord Jesus taught it. Before we turn to 1 Chronicles 16, where David in song gives demonstration of hallowing the name of God, we turn in the back of the Psalter hymnal to page 60. Page 60, Lord's Day 47. And together let's give testimony to what we believe this means. Page 60, Lord's Day 47, question 122 asks, what does the first request mean? Hallowed be thy name means, help us to really know you, to bless, worship, and praise you for all your works and for all that shines forth from them. Your almighty power, wisdom, kindness, justice, mercy, and truth. And it means, help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. We turn together to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16, reading together, beginning at verse 7 through verse 36. In the context of the ark being put in the tent that David had made. 1 Chronicles 16, beginning with verse 7, giving our attention to the holy word of God. Then on that day David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. O give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Israel, His servant, children of Jacob, His chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember His covenant forever, the word that He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that He made with Abraham, His sworn promise to Isaac, which He confirmed to Jacob as a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. When you were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, He allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and joy are in His place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory. Do His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His steadfast love endures forever. Say also, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. In a sense, David, I would say, is an example for us of an answer to that request of hallowed be thy name. A beloved in Christ the Lord. Question 116 of the Catechism, beginning the Catechism's treatment of prayer, asks again, why do Christians need to pray? The answer begins, because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. You see, through faithful prayer, beloved, Almighty God allows believers to communicate with Him, to speak with Him, and therefore it only stands to reason, therefore, that He be put first, because we have nothing for which to thank Him. We have nothing for which to even ask of Him if He is not acknowledged according to the truth of who He truly is. Now, we cannot deny, I suspect you would agree with me, we cannot deny that even as believers, we have a sinful tendency to always put ourselves first. And in prayer, that means that we come with the list of our wants and of our needs, treating God as some sort of a cosmic vending machine to fulfill our every desire. It is true, as answer 116 continues, it is true that God alone is the great provider, and He does command us to bring our needs before Him. And we are to do so, beloved, in such a way by which we confess and we demonstrate our total dependence upon Him. However, in the Lord's Prayer, our Lord Jesus Christ, who Himself taught that prayer, in a sense He pulls on the reins of our hearts to slow down, to know and to acknowledge that our needs won't mean a thing and our lives won't be what God requires if God is not recognized for who He truly is. Yes, as we considered with our Father who art in heaven, He is able to do for us all that we need or can think or ask or imagine, because He is Almighty God. At the very same time, He is willing to do for us all that we need or ask, because He is faithful Father. But being our Father who art in heaven, He also has a peculiar character, apart from which none of this would mean a thing. None of this would make any sense. We would have nothing for which to thank Him. As children of God, beloved, our greatest need is that our God be recognized and honored for who He is. And therefore, our Lord Jesus, through this first petition, teaches us that we are to be desiring the honor of God's name. And therefore, this petition, Hallowed be thy name, is first of all a request for necessary knowledge. Secondly, it is a request for faithful worship. And finally, a request for directed obedience. First of all, a request for necessary knowledge of God's holiness. Hallowed be thy name. Well, how do we understand hallow, boys and girls? What is the meaning of hallow? It's a word that we probably don't use very often. You don't hear it around the home very much, if at all. But technically, it's the same as holy. Now, there are many things that we can say about what it means, what holy means. It means different, to be different. It means to treat as holy or to hold sacred, to keep as holy. To hallow is to glorify, to honor, to exalt, or to lift on high. When we talk about hallowing God's name, we know that in Scripture, when Scripture talks about God's name, we know that it is a reference to His very being. It is talking about all that God is put in the very name of the Lord. It is talking about all that God is. It is talking about all of His attributes. It is talking about the entirety of His character, whatever, however He has revealed Himself, including His power, majesty, sovereignty, eternality, the fact that He is infinite, His grace, His mercy, His love, the fact that He is independent, and everything else that we know is true of our God. And He is all of these things, beloved, because He is in His very being holy. That is, we could say, His greatest attribute. He is holy, which means He is set apart. He is distinctive. From all of creation, He is the Creator. All else is the creation. He is distinctive from all that is unholy. He is pure and righteous and sinless. He is distinct from all that is sinful and unholy. And therefore, beloved, when we pray, "Hallowed be Thy name," that does not mean that we are asking somehow that we make His name holy or that we even make His name more holy than it already is, but it is asking that His holiness be manifested more and more to us. That we increase, even as a people of God, that we increase in our understanding of the holiness of God, of His purity, and of all that He is, and that we grow in our awe and awareness and our reverence for this holy God. And therefore, too, it is a request that His holiness be manifested to the world through us. In other words, that we give to God the reverence and the esteem and the glory and the praise that His nature demands, and that His and that which He deserves. And that means, beloved, that we glory, that the glory of God's holiness is to be first and foremost in our hearts and minds and lives, that we might not in any way stand in the way of His majesty, but instead that we would be confessors of His majesty and His power and His salvation, and that we ourselves as His people, that we be reflectors of His holiness. Our desire, beloved, is to include that God and His holiness be seen in us, and then to be seen in the work of His hands, whether it be in the creation all around, whether it be in the changing of the seasons, or in the beauty of a newborn child, or in the power of the storm or earthquake, or in that new spiritual life when He brings one from death to life. And therefore, with this petition, beloved, we profess that we are not to be concerned, first of all, with ourselves and our own existence, but we are to be concerned, first of all, with God, that God be high, that God be lifted up, that God be recognized above all, and that His holiness be displayed over all things. And it is a profession that we ourselves exist only because He is holy God. And we can't begin to set Him apart unless, as the Catechism says, we really or rightly know Him. And therefore, this necessary knowledge is to know Him, is to mean that we are to know Him properly. Our Lord Jesus, in John chapter 17, verse 3, that high priestly prayer, He says, He prays, "And this is eternal life." What is? "That they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." This is eternal life, that they know You, that they know the truth of You by faith. Beloved, our salvation, we know, hangs in the balance of knowing the only true God. Without that true knowledge of Him, we have no salvation. The Lord, through the prophet Hosea, in Hosea 4, verse 6, said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And the danger, therefore, is that this lack of knowledge, or a distortion of this knowledge of God, would then be passed down to our children. No, we are to teach them of the holiness of God, and we are to teach them that because of who He is, that because of His holy character, He cares about us. He cares about how we worship Him. He cares about that we worship Him. He cares about the entirety of our lives. We are to teach them that He is not just some cosmic vending machine. We are to teach them that He is the one who tells us how we are to live in a way that is pleasing to Him, and not that we tell Him how we are going to live and that we expect Him to be obligated to accept that. This petition, beloved, is a request that God would draw us into, and that He would strengthen our assurance of a loving and a gracious relationship with Him. without rightly knowing God and the truth of God, one cannot and will not pray to the true God. Beloved, right knowledge of God leads to hallowing Him. It leads to proper respect and honor for God's name. It leads one to honor in our hearts Christ the Lord as holy, as Peter says in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. However, poor or wrong or distorted knowledge results in a lack of respect. It results in dishonoring the name of God. And this necessary knowledge comes to us through His self-revelation. We talk about God's revelation in two ways: His general revelation, His special revelation. His general revelation, as we say, through creation. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows forth His handiwork. Paul in Romans chapter 1 speaks of the invisible attributes of God, His eternal power and His divine nature being clearly revealed in all that He has made. And in the Belcher Confession, Article 2, the writers have taken the truth of Scripture and put together our confession of God's creation, preservation, and government of the universe as a most elegant book. God's creation, beloved, all around us is as a most elegant book that clearly reveals to us that there is an almighty God. Apart from Him, none of this. If He is not holy, I would submit to you that this creation would not even exist. Yet without really or rightly knowing Him, as Paul also says in Romans 1, one will not glorify Him. Foolish hearts are darkened. Without that right and proper knowledge, one will only suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And therefore, we also need His special revelation, His revelation of Himself through His Word. John Calvin says that the inscripturated Word of God is as a pair of eyeglasses through which we clearly read God's book of creation and truly know Him. Again, we know that's only by the application, the illumination, and the power of the Holy Spirit. But through that, the Scripture corrects the believer's vision, damaged and distorted by sin. So that the Bible is true when Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light upon my path." That special revelation of God, beloved, illumines us to see the truth of who God is and the truth of who we are, and to see the truth of our great need for Him, and that He alone satisfied and has satisfied for that great need of ours. And through that inscripturated Word, beloved, God reveals Himself as the doer of great deeds and wonders, as David does in 1 Chronicles 16. In a sense, he gives a bit of a history of Israel, not only a history of the world and God's creative work, but the history of Israel as well, that they were protected by the hand of God. God is the doer of great deeds and wonders. David gives thanks that God is the God of strength. He is the God of judgment. He is the God of salvation. He is the God of steadfast love. He gives thanks that He is the one and only God of the covenant by which He binds Himself with His people, with promises of blessing for obedience, but also warning of curses for disobedience. Yet we know as well God's special revelation includes the fact that He reveals Himself through Jesus Christ. Through His Son, He reveals Himself finally and fully, as the writer of Hebrews begins his letter this way: "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." Beloved, to rightly know God, we must know His Son, who is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And only in Him, by the Holy Spirit, then, will we see of God His almighty power, His wisdom, His kindness, His justice, His mercy, and His truth. Beloved, He is who He is because He is holy. And that holiness of God has been clearly revealed in Jesus Christ, in that God, through Christ, made provision to restore fallen, sinful man. Yet he refused to until he demonstrated his hatred for sin and unholiness by punishing it on the cross. His holiness is seen in his incarnate word, Jesus Christ, who conquered over sin and death and hell, so that his people once again enjoy the holiness of God, so that his people once again can dwell with him, not in the terror that his holiness is going to crush us, not terrified that the holiness of God is still a consuming fire against his people. But now in Christ, we may dwell in the splendor of the holiness of God and enjoy His holy character and His holy being. It's only because our God is holy and He has revealed that holiness in Christ Jesus, again, that we have any hope, that we have any hope of salvation, that we have anything for which to give thanks to God. Beloved, necessary, right knowledge of God is given through the truth of His holy word. And that means too then that this petition very simply is a request that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ be preserved, that she be extended, that the faithful ministry of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ continue to go forth with the faithful instruction of the word of God. But it also means, beloved, that to pray this petition, "Hallowed be thy name," but then not be zealous for the truth of the word of God, it's to be a hypocrite. To pray this prayer, "Hallowed be thy name," and then not read and meditate upon the word of God as God gives us opportunity day by day, is to be a hypocrite. To pray this prayer, "Hallowed be thy name," and then to neglect to train our children in the fear and knowledge of the Lord, and to neglect to share the gospel, is to be a hypocrite. And what did our Lord Jesus say in Mark chapter 7 about hypocrites? In verse 6, he said, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me.'" If we are hypocrites, our worship is for nothing. It is in vain. And therefore, beloved, this is a prayer for necessary and right knowledge, so that by the grace of God, we can also honor Him in the second place through faithful worship. As the Catechism says as well, "Help us to really know You, to bless, worship, and praise You for all Your works and for all that shines forth from them." We are called to faithful worship. We are called to worship God. We don't worship His work, but we are called to worship God, the one who performs and continues to perform wondrous works. Following again the example of David, and notice in verse 8, he sings, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on His name." And then notice what he says, "Why? Make known His deeds among the peoples." Verse 9, "Sing to Him, sing praises to Him." And in that song, what are we to tell? Tell of all His wondrous works. Picking up in verse 23, "Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens." Beloved, we are called to follow the example of David, who speaks here of the splendor and the majesty of God, who calls the congregation to worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness, who calls the congregation to give glory to Him, to tremble before Him. And why? Simply because He is holy. Because He is utterly distinct and separate from you and me in His very character. And because, as David says in verse 35, He is the God of our salvation. Again, very simply, beloved, we would not exist if our God is not holy. To hallow His name is to ask for His grace to sanctify our hearts and minds that we might always glorify His name, with our mouths singing praises to Him, with our prayers offering prayers of thanks to Him, confessing His name, shouting to the world, as David says, "Our God reigns," testifying that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Beloved, we are called to adore Him for His grace and mercy shown to us in Jesus Christ. We are called to adore Him and to give faithful worship to Him for His power that's evident in creation, for example, for His wisdom that is clearly revealed in the laws of nature or in the intricate design of the human body, for His goodness, for example, seen in the sun and the rain poured out on the righteous and the unrighteous, and especially His goodness and kindness in giving the wicked an opportunity to repent of their sins. And most of all, beloved, we are called to adore Him for His justice and mercy that met on Calvary, by which, because of which, we have hope in Christ. And as well to adore Him for the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and that covenantal relationship, faithfulness of that relationship He has brought us into with Himself. It is a request, beloved, for faithful worship because man's chief end, as another familiar confession says, is to enjoy God and to enjoy God and to glorify Him forever. See, that's our purpose here. That's our purpose for as long as our God gives us breath of life. Our primary purpose of our lives is not to have as much fun as we can, nor is it to avoid as much pain as possible, but to enjoy God and to glorify Him forever, to honor our Creator and Redeemer, the one who redeemed my life from the pit, who delivered me from my deadly enemies, who has set my feet high upon a rock. And beloved, because of my new standing in Jesus Christ, because of my new standing on the solid rock, this petition then is also a request in the third and final place for directed obedience. You see, right knowledge of God by faith and faithful worship is to be extended in our daily walk, as Paul says clearly in Romans chapter 12, that our lives are to be living sacrifices of praise to God, not part-time sacrifices, not sleeping now and again, but awake at other times, but all of the time, living sacrifices, offering ourselves in our completeness to God throughout our lives. As answer 22 goes on, it also means help us to direct all our living, what we think, say, and do, so that Your name will never be blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Always honored and praised. I think Paul says it a little bit differently when he says this: take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Because to glorify God with our speech, to hallow Him with our mouths, but to not sanctify Him in our walk, beloved, the truth is that's worse than not glorifying Him at all. To talk the talk but not walk the walk, very simply, is of the devil. As John points out in his first epistle, it is very simply to participate in the devil's lies. He says in 1 John 1 verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him, that is God, Christ, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. The truth is, the more piously we talk of God with our mouth, while at the same time walking in the darkness of sin, the more abominable we become in the sight of God. And that makes sense, doesn't it? I hope it does, because we confess to be God's workmanship, and workmanship then reflects the character of its maker. But those who claim to be the workmanship of God, yet live as workmanship of the devil, they misrepresent God. They blaspheme His holy name. They take His name in vain by their very lives. In every compartment, in every situation of life, we are called to reflect the glory and the honor of God. Again, as we considered this morning, that's something that Satan doesn't want us to do. That's something that he will do everything he can. Whether it simply be a bad mood on any given day. He will do everything he can so that in every compartment and every situation of life, we do not reflect the glory and the honor of God. But that's what we're called to do, beloved, even in the tough times, even in times of sickness or persecution or financial difficulty, because those times, do not forget it, and I must not either, those times are also ordained of God. And then, too, even as we are traveling through those difficult times, we are, as the Catechism says, we are to bless and worship and to praise Him, even in the context of those things. And that means, for example, that if God would be more glorified and honored in my sickness instead of my health, then I am to be content in that. And I am to glorify Him in that. It means that if I would better be able to testify to God's grace and providence in my life when I have little, then let me never have much. And then in my little, glory in His goodness in giving that little. His glory is to be before my health and my wealth and my popularity and my position or my anything. Beloved, may we never, ever blaspheme Him by trying to reduce Him while at the same time in some way exalting ourselves. And notice, too, that directed obedience is to be toward our neighbor. The Catechism says again, so that your name will never be blasphemed because of us. We understand that in two ways, either by us, that we blaspheme His name, or on account of us, that it may never be blasphemed by others on account of us. Boys and girls, we can say that the book of creation tells of Almighty God, the Father, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. The book of Scripture, the Bible, tells us, teaches of the Son, Jesus Christ. But the believer is also a book. Each and every one of us is a book. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3, Paul says that we are books, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Well, the believer is not a perfect book. And for any one of us, there are many, many, many black stained pages. But make no mistake about it, that we are books that are read much. The world reads the believer closely. The world is ready at a moment's notice with an accusing finger when you and I fail to practice that which they know we preach. And as an aside, with regard to that, interestingly, I think, the world, in that way, we can say that the world honors the work of God's grace without even knowing it by expecting believers to be different. But whether the world knows that you and I are Christians or not, we are to never, ever, ever give them an opportunity to blaspheme the holy name of God. If they do on our account, though they are responsible before God for their sin, we too are accountable. Beloved, may others never ever see us. May they, when they see us, may they never ever say, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I want no part of it, as we've said before. Or even worse, well, if that's what it means to be a Christian, well, then I don't need to change a thing. May others see in and from us obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in every aspect and every detail of our lives at all times, even in our faithful repentance of sin, with our prayer being, as our Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Beloved, whether we know that others are watching us or not, may the automatic, unconscious direction of our life be, as Paul says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And in that way, by the grace of God, He uses His people to make His holiness manifest to the world. We are called to point others to the holiness of God, the only Savior. And beloved, it begins at home. We are called to order and direct the entirety of our lives so that our children, and then from there flowing out to our co-workers and our neighbors, that they might see Jesus, and that the world sees that it is no longer I who live, but Jesus Christ lives in me. He teaches in the Lord's Prayer that our first and our greatest need is that God be God in our lives. Because, beloved, if we do not recognize Him as He truly is, then we have no use for His kingdom. Then we will not seek His will. Then our daily bread will not work for our good. We will not want to forgive others. And in addition, we will already be lost in temptation, having been delivered unto evil. If we do not recognize Him in our lives as He truly is, we have no hope. Because our hope is only in the holiness of God. Because of the holiness of His Son, who gave Himself as a sacrifice for our unholiness, that we might be saved from all of our sin. Beloved, it is only by believing in Jesus Christ by grace through faith and having been delivered from sin unto salvation by the power of the cross, it is only by that we can have peace with God and will have peace with God and are able to cry out in truth, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, indeed hallowed be Thy name. In so many ways, Father, these things that we have said and heard tonight, we know that they are true in Your Word. But in so many ways, Your majesty and splendor is so far above us, we cannot even begin to comprehend it. How we thank You for revealing Yourself to us according to the truth of who You are. Keep us from doubting it. Keep us from living as if it's not true. Instead, we pray that more and more that truth would be applied to our hearts and lives by the power of Your Holy Spirit. And that in Him we might become more holy in our daily lives, that our lives would truly manifest that our God is holy. We thank You for the blessed truth of Your Word. We praise Your most holy name, that You are the one who hears us and answers us according to our need, because You are holy, God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.